All right, take your Bible and look at Luke chapter 17 tonight in one hand and Genesis 19 in the other. Luke chapter 17. Rick talking about the dog. We went on a visitation a couple weeks ago and was out with a guy that's been on a roll. He's been getting them saved about every week. So a preacher sent me out with him. We went to a house of a lady that wasn't saved. They'd been to church that particular Sunday. We go in there and they got a little wiener dog. About that long. One of the black ones looked like a little Doberman. And I got pretty good outfit on. I'm sitting on the couch. They had a real long living room. I'm sitting there and this crazy dog, my job's to take care of the dog. The baby was crying. Dad took it out and I got the dog. So I'm sitting there and the dog, he wasn't happy just to stand there on the floor. He's got to get up on the couch. And, I'm sitting there like this trying to pet him. He sticks his head up through my arm and he wants to lay on my pants, So I pet him a while. I notice as I pet him, there's stuff building up on my arm, dog hair. And I'm like, man, crazy dog. So I kind of petted him for about 20 minutes. And I kind of hit him on the rear end, get out of here. So wouldn't you know, he goes right down that room and makes a left turn right up on the couch between the guy and the woman he's dealing with, So I felt like a dog. And I said, Lord, come on, get that dog back off. I'll watch it, So that lady kind of shoves him off the couch and down he comes again. So I thought, this time I'm going to be smart. So I'm sitting on the couch and I kind of corralled him like this, trying to hold him and pet him here, That dog, he wanted his way, so I had to give it to him because we're trying to get her saved. So back up on the couch, I had dog hair all over me before we left. But she got saved, so it was a blessing. So there's not a lot to it. A lot of times visitation is just a matter of having somebody to sidetrack all the distractions. And, a lot of times a lot of emphasis is put on who does the talking. Well, that's just, you're part of lack. And I've been on them where I grabbed these little kids one night on a visitation, had these little girls, and they had chickens running all over the house, these little chicks about, yay high. My job was just try to keep that all, and they had this cat, and I hate cats. This little girl brought the cat over and throws it at me like that up on my lap, I kind of brushed it off. I said, don't put that cat. I don't like cats, I said, this night won't go too well if you do that again. She threw it up there again. And I had a guy with him that had just gotten saved. He'd only been saved probably 2 months. He was talking to her. I told that little girl, I said, you throw that cat on my lap again, I'm going to kill it. I don't do that. Put the cat down. I thought, boy, I blew that. Well, she got saved too. So, if the Lord's in it, they're going to get saved. If he's not, they're not going to get saved. And it all depends on God being there. And it's just a blessing to go. Some of the best times I've had with the guys in the church down there has been on visitation. And I'm going to preach tonight a message that I've never preached this before, just kind of a new one. But if you look in Luke chapter 17, it's a woman in the Bible that you've heard about. And we're going to look at a few things about her. I'll try to be real brief. Luke chapter 17. Got a new Bible up here, and this thing is different. It's a little different. I'm not used to preaching out of it. Chapter 17, we'll look at verse 28. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, and they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Then it throws a little interesting comment in there. Remember Lot's wife. That's who we're going to talk about tonight. As you know, the context is in the tribulation. And if you go back to Genesis chapter 19, we're going to look at some things about Lot's wife tonight. You can take a different people in the Bible. You can learn a lot of stuff from just studying one individual. And there's a few things about her tonight. And this isn't a message at the women. This is a message for everybody. Everybody can learn from someone's mistake. And we'll look in Genesis chapter 19. The Bible says this in verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go in your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast. And he did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. And the story, and we'll jump down to verse 26. And the overthrow takes place, and he says this, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar herself. Now, for sake of time, I won't read any more than that. But there's five things I want to bring out about Lot's wife tonight. The first thing I want to say about her, she had a wimp for a husband. You know, the Bible doesn't tell to remember too many things, but it tells to remember Lot's wife. You know, the Bible says to the young people, it says in Ecclesiastes, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And if you're young and you have knowledge of the Word of God and the Lord, you need to remember Him at a young age. Because the older you get, the harder you get, the more callous you get, and the less it means to you. You get more sin on you, and you get more dirt on you. And the Bible said, remember Lot's wife. And Lot's wife tonight was a woman that was, she was married to a wimp. It was a spiritual wimp. You say, why do you say that? Look in verse 7. It said, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Any man that would call that crowd brethren is a wimp. Any guy that would call queers brethren is a wimp. And I don't care, the Bible calls him a righteous man. But you know what? Sin had taken him. He sat there in the gate. He had a position of power. I don't have time to go through it. You look in Ruth chapter 4, verse 1 and 10. You get back there, Boaz, when he was trying to get that kinsman redeemer, he sat in the gate. He was the king. That's where the king belonged, in the gate. He had a position of power tonight. Lot had a position of power. He tried to appease both sides. In verse 2, it says this, and he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you. I mean, he's trying to keep the angels happy. He's trying to keep the world happy. Well, you know that doesn't work. The Bible says you can't serve God and mammon tonight. You got to take sides somewhere along the line. And she was married to a wimp. He was just a wimpy man. You know, some guys, they look like men. Some guys look like wimps. Whenever I had Brother Rick down this winter on a Wednesday night, I have a carload of kids I take to church. And, you know, they're just little girls. One's, Mary's probably about that tall. And she gets, you know, Brother Rick showed up at the house. I said, yeah, you might as well drive. You got a bigger car. So we go and pick him up, and we get to church, and, you know, he's a pretty big guy compared to me. He's up here like this, and that little girl runs up. She grabs my coat after we get out. She says, Barry, he scares me. Oh, my Brother Rick. I said, oh, I said, he's a big teddy bear. He's my buddy. He won't bother you. She said, okay. You know, she was fine with him, you know. But he looks like a man. And I don't know. I guess maybe I look like a wimp. I don't know compared to you. But he was a wimp tonight, spiritual wimp. You know, there's a lot of homes tonight. The men are spiritual wimps in them. We got ladies in our church, if they didn't take the initiative to get up in the morning and get the kids ready and go through all the mess in the morning to feed them and everything, get them to church, they'd never come to church because Dad won't do his job. He's a wimp. That's what Lot was. He wouldn't do his job. He called them brethren. Christ never called the Pharisees and Sadducees brethren one time the whole time he was on this earth. And this generation we live in, they want you to back down and kowtow and you know, be friendly. You go to work and these guys, you know, they always ask you, well, how about Jimmy Swaggart? They assume if you're not Catholic, you're one of those guys, you know. And they always compare you to that stuff. And I try to tell them, those aren't my brethren. I said, they might be saved. We might be brothers in Christ, but those aren't what I call brethren. I said, I got some real brethren at church that aren't afraid of this book. You know, they don't kowtow. I saw one, Larry King, here about 2 weeks ago. They had Robert Shuler on there with Jerry Falwell and some guy that was the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, acting like those guys are all on the same team against this bunch of unsaved crowd. You know, I tell you, Falwell might be a long way downhill, but he's a whole lot higher than Robert Shuler. At least he's born again. And I'm like, you know, they always act like we're the same. We're not the same tonight. Brethren, they're not brethren. Got wimps. He had to try to appease both sides. He tried to play both roles. He had two loves. And this 1998 in America is full of religious politicians. I'm talking about the Christians. They go to work. They want to please that crowd. They come to church. They want to play that crowd. Somewhere along the line, you're going to have to take sides. It happened a lot. It come down here when it got hot and heavy. He's trying to shield them. He's trying to hide the sin of Sodom from the angels. Well, just come in and, you know, I'll make a feast. Just kind of spend the night with me. That wasn't the problem. He wasn't doing that because he cared about them. He didn't want them to see what was really going on. He's just trying to shield them from. He didn't want them to know how in touch he was with the crowd. And a lot of Christians, they try to run right down the road with that bunch, and then they just run. You know, I mean, they want their hands on both sides. You can't have it that way tonight. You got to take sides. He was a wimp, spiritual wimp. It takes a man to take sides. I'd rather have a man take the wrong side than a guy try to go right down the middle all the time. Because you know where he stands. You never know where that one in the middle stands. I work with a bunch of those guys. They get you in the back every chance they get. I had a fellow come to me one morning, and I happened to walk in, heard him in the shop. He's talking, you know, telling the jokes with that crowd, and he sees me walk past. It's about 7 o'clock, and boy, out the door he comes. He follows me over there. He says, I got a question for you. You know, he asked me some Bible question. I forget what it was now. And I said, hey, I said, you want to know the answer to that? I said, you go ask God to give it to you. He said, what do you talk like that for? I said, you're in there cowtown with those guys. I heard what you were saying when I walked by. I said, you don't care about that question. You wouldn't have been in there with them. Trying to play both sides. God don't want you to play both sides tonight. He wants you to be on his side, or one side or the other, hot or cold. That's the crowd he's going to spew out, the middle road. The religious wimps. He was a man that was a wimp. She was married to him. It took him down. The Bible said this about John. It said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. I mean, the Bible defines a man. That's a man. In fact, he was such a man whenever Jesus Christ is on the earth. He's raising Jairus' daughter. He's healing the issue of blood. He's calming the storms. And Herod hears about that. And Herod said, "That's John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead. I killed him. That's John the Baptist." He was a man. There was no doubt about him. They mistook him for Jesus Christ. He was a man. Lot was a wimp. He was a spiritual wimp tonight. And if you're the man of the house, the Lord expects you to take your position, lead the home in the spiritual matters. Not sit on the throne, not be the boss all the time, but lead them right. Those children are precious tonight. You want to lead them. And it breaks my heart. I bring carloads of them to church and try to talk to the parents. I say, "Look, I'm thrilled to bring your kids. I'm glad you let them come. But I said it'd be a whole lot better if you'd bring them. Just bring them once in a while. I mean, I'm happy to have them, but they're yours. They need to come with mom and dad. Take your position." Lot was a spiritual wimp tonight. And there's other men in the Bible, Ahab and Jezebel. I don't have time to go into them. But lessons from Lot's wife. She married the wrong kind of man. You know, there's many a young girl that's messed her life up by getting married to the wrong man. A spiritual wimp. They date him with their eyes closed and they think they got everything. "Boy, he's so nice. He treats me nice. He's so fun. You know, those two words aren't in the Bible. Nice and fun. They date a guy and they think, "Boy, he treats me so good. It's so nice." And they just got both eyes closed and they never look at the spiritual side when they get married. There's nothing happening. And it's a miserable life. It'll ruin a good woman, a good girl. It happened to Lot's wife. She married the wrong kind of man. A wimp. Don't be a wimp tonight. Be a man. The highest calling in this earth, not to preach, not to be a daddy, not to be a husband, is to be a man if you're a man. God expects you to be a man. Okay, next to that, we'll say this. Genesis 19:26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Okay, she not only married a wimpy husband, but she had a worldly heart. And the Bible says she was looking back. Everything she had in this life was behind her. Judgment day came. The Lord said, "Get out of Sodom. Get out of there. Go. And she took off, took about 10 steps, and realized she'd laid nothing out on the other side. It was all behind. There's many Christians this night that everything they got, if you name their address and their street, everything they got is right there. They have nothing. They've sent nothing ahead. I got a real good friend tonight in Cincinnati, and her husband built her a nice house, building all the junk, got all the barns, all the stuff. He'll miss 9 months of church at a shot, never show up one time, just to build a house. And then he goes for a couple years, and he'll miss another 5 months to build a barn. And you know what he's done? He's provided all that junk, and he's laid nothing up on the other side. Wasted his life. That's a waste. It's a worldly heart. That's what happened to her. Everything she had was it going up in smoke behind her. And you don't want to be that way on Judgment Day. You want to send some out ahead. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. You know the verses, but I'll read them. There's more to it than what you see and what you have and the toys and the junk, the golf clubs and everything else. There's a lot more to it than that. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." You know what Lot's wife found out? She found out that verse is exactly true. When she's going out, what she had was passing away behind her. And you don't want to live your life that way. You want to send some on ahead. And like I said, a lot of nights you go out on visitation, you don't get one good visit. You get a bunch of duds, you know, but you're laying up. I mean, that's time invested. That's on the other side. That's time. The Lord's going to pay you for that. And he keeps pretty good accounts. And like I said, a lot of nights you go out and make a total. We were on a porch one night, and I'd going out with this Gary. I know him real well. And for some reason, when the guy answered the door, man, I just drew a blank. I mean, I couldn't even think of his name, the guy I'm with. You know, I just total like a fool. He just answered the door quicker than I was expecting. And he didn't get saved. We got a good visit. And I thought, man, I mean, you think you waste your time, but you never know what the Lord does with that. I mean, Lord, just the fact you're there. And I want to watch this crowd got a worldly heart. The problem's not having stuff. The problem's not enjoying your things. The problem is when you begin to love it and not just enjoy using it. There's a lot of, I mean, you get wrapped up in that junk, and they spend their, I mean, I've seen them. We had a guy come to, that's been in the church a while down there, and the preacher kept telling him, you need to come back. You know, where you been? What you doing? The guy bought 18 acres of dirt down there. He's got him a little farm going. He's a little stuff farming on the side, and the preacher goes over and sees him time after time after time after time. When are you going to come back? He said, preacher, I got better things to do than sit on a church pew. He says, what? He said, I got better things to do than sit on a church pew. The guy was about 35 years old when he told him that. He was dead by the time he was 40, laying in the ground. His kids were a mess, and everything he had went up, just fell apart, just like the guy John's talking about. You know why? Because he had a worldly heart tonight. The heart will deceive you. You need to watch your heart tonight. Use them, but don't love them. The Lord sends stuff your way. There's nothing wrong with having it, but don't fall in love with this stuff down here. I mean, don't spend your whole life taking care of it, keeping junk up and putting the things of the Lord aside. Put the Lord where he belongs, preeminence, first place. Everything else comes afterward. The average church in America runs just like Kmart and Walmart. They want more people to come in, more people to come in, so they got more money when they go out. And that's what's wrong with a lot of churches. They've got a world just as worldly as the crowd that comes in the door. The man in the pulpit has absolutely nothing going. And if you got one that does, you better thank God for him. And you better pray for him. And hold him up, because they're rare. They're far and few between. All right, the third thing I want to say is in verse 26 as well. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She not only had a worldly heart, she had a willful spirit. And that's what John was talking about a little bit ago. Just, I mean, she wanted things her way. Going to do it her way. She looked back from behind her. She lingered behind. She just kind of tarried. There's got to be a different way. I really don't have to leave. He can't really mean that we got to go today. I mean, why now? It doesn't have to be right now, can't we? I got something back there I want. And buddy, she had a willful spirit. She was going to do it her way, and it didn't work out the way she thought. And let's look at the story back in 2 Peter. Pick up the same thing here. See what Peter says about it. 2 Peter chapter 2. And verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignity. That's their problem, they're self-willed. And man, today you try to tell them how to be saved, and you try to deal with them over and over and over again. They got their own way of doing things. They're kind of like Absalom back there. He had his own way of doing things. He was going to run things his way. He was going to get by his way. And of course, he got hung up on it, hung up in the tree. They get self-willed. People think they're above the rules. They're above the law. The rules apply to everybody else. It's kind of like you go in a grocery store, and they got a sign up there that says, "Express lane, 12 items." No cash, cash only, no checks. So what do? You go in there, you know, I'm a single guy. I don't go in there and buy $100 worth of stuff. I go in there for two or three things after church. I'm trying to get home and get to bed. So you get in line, what do you got? I got a fellow there with two carts full of junk in the express lane. 12 items. What's he do? Takes out a checkbook. Cash only. Thinks it applies to everybody but me. I can get away with it. That's for everybody else. You go in a restaurant, I got a good preacher friend, I'm sure you know who it is. You go in the restaurant and says, "Please wait to be seated." How many of you know who I'm talking about? Anybody? Buddy, there'll be 50 people in line. Come on, brother. Around you go. Press 50 people up and go grab your own table. Like, well, I'm with him, he'll take the heat, you know. And I've done that with him, sit there 40 minutes, had nobody come to that table. No waitress. They come to the table and he's, "Well, we've been sitting here." I mean, you want to go by. Hey, we're trying to get our food. She goes, "Well, didn't the sign say to wait?" "Ah, never mind it. Just take care of us." What is it? It's a willful spirit. Rules apply to everybody but me. It's kind of like, driving 55. And I preach myself on that. I went to work one morning. I got to work and this guy, unsaved guy I've been witnessing to, he says, "Well, how's that to drive, the way you drive for a Christian?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, you passed me this morning." I said, "Where at?" And he told me where. I said, "How fast were you doing?" He said, "Well, I was doing about 58 and you went by me." I said, "You might as well have been doing what I was doing. If you went 56, you broke the law. 55 is the limit. Not, 58, I guess, venial and mortal sin. Self-willed. And people make excuse instead of taking responsibility. She thought she could look back and get away with it, but she found out different. And people make excuses. I heard a preacher one time, in fact, it was Frank's preacher down there talking about, you know, kids come to church and, you know, some nights they just have bad nights. I mean, sometimes missionaries come in, the kids are good kids, it's a bad night, you know. But, you know, the parents usually have an excuse, oh, he's tired or, you know, she doesn't feel good or whatever. And Brother Randy said he was standing one night and this little girl was standing there just screaming, carrying on, you know, about a, you know, 2-year-old and just wouldn't listen to nothing. And, you know, he's waiting for them to do something. They wouldn't do nothing. The lady looks at Randy and says, oh, her shoes are too tight. Makes it, you know, he started laughing at it. He says, oh, come on, I've heard it all. You need to break the will. You know what Lot's wife's trouble was? Her will was never broken. She spent a whole life doing what she wanted to do. That will was never broke. She was just hard as nails. And she thought, it always worked up till now. And God said, don't look back. I can get away with it. She looked back and that was the end of it. There comes a point. You gotta have a soft spirit about you tonight. Verse 14, look at the next thing. Trying to be brief on this stuff. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. The next thing I want to say about her, she had wayward children. Her children are wayward tonight because of her marrying the wrong kind of fella, because of the spirit she had in her hard heart. And they got in the same situation. They followed mom and dad down there to Sodom and Egypt and got into that mess. And instead of mom and daddy going the right way, they gave in. And I mean, Lot was in the gate. He didn't preach about sin. He just tried to kowtow with them, drug his wife down into that, and it ruined the seed right behind him. And you tonight, you're given a great responsibility with your children tonight. The Bible says that you train them up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. These children were not brought up right. And when the time came, the son-in-laws died lost, and they went to hell. I realize tonight a mother has a great responsibility. And that's why it's important a lot of times who they marry. Those young girls, man, it is important who you marry. That's going to be the father of your children. He's going to determine sometimes how you raise your kids and how they're going to turn out. I'll turn back to Malachi. I'll show you what I mean. Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. A lot of times the trouble way down the road with the kids is just a result of something that happened many years back. When they get that hard spirit, Brother Eric was telling me one night, and we were on a visitation, he told me in the car, a woman had come to him that day and said, man, my daughter this, my daughter that, and she listed all the problems and this and that. She's weeping and carrying on, and she asked Brother Eric, what should I do? And he said, I looked at her and I said, I told you 20 years ago to bring those girls to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and be faithful. He said, I counsel 4 times a week. I counsel Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, Sunday morning at 11, Sunday night at 7, Wednesday night at 7. He says, you haven't been here 2 times in 15 years. He said, what do you want me to tell you now? That's a pretty good answer. Make you feel bad. She brought him up the wrong way. And your job tonight as parents is to raise a holy seed. To raise a good seed, a godly seed. Malachi chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says this. Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with good at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one, yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed? Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. I mean, the idea was to raise a godly seed. And that godly seed came about by a covenant. I mean, when Adam and Eve entered into that thing, it was a covenant. It wasn't just a ceremony. It wasn't just a piece of paper. It wasn't just a certificate. It was a covenant. And it was a covenant to go in there and raise that child the way it ought to be raised. And this lady had, Lot's wife had bad seed tonight because she took those things lightly. I mean, there's no doubt her spirit about that marriage was the same way it was about everything else. And she had a hard spirit about it, and it passed right on to her children. I had some boys in my Sunday school class, a couple twins, and I was over there over at their house one Saturday afternoon, and it's been about 8 or 9 years ago, and in fact, it was a Sunday afternoon, we come home from church, and I mean, was trying to sit there and eat, and it's just blah, blah this and blah, blah that, and talking about the preacher and talking about the preacher, talking about the preacher. And I sit there and didn't say nothing. I waited for all the husband and the boys to go out of the house and the daughter, and I just kind of hung around. I said, man, I said, you need to watch what you say in front of your boys. I mean, I never heard anybody talk about a preacher like that. And I said, you need to watch what you say about the preacher in front of those kids. She goes, well, why is that? I said, they're going to get to where they never want to come to church. And she said, well, they don't want to go now. I said, are you surprised? I said, I wouldn't want to go either if I heard my dad talk about the preacher like that all the time. I said, instead of saying it to your boys, why don't you get on your face and tell the Lord about it? Let the Lord deal with it if you think you're so right. And that's the way you handle it. You don't bad talk the preacher, the Sunday school teachers. I mean, if you got all the answers, and you know, these people seem to know it all, go out and start a church, see how easy it is. Half these people got all the answers, God can't get them to go across the street and knock on their neighbor's door. But they know how to run the church. And that's not the way it ought to be. The men in the church down there, I've never heard one thing about Brother Eric in the time I've been there. You say anything go around, I'm sure it does. It never gets to me because they know I don't want to hear it. And the man that gets defended is the man that stands behind the pulpit and believes the book. They get the benefit of the doubt. Not your children, not me. The preacher gets the benefit of the doubt. And when he's proven wrong, the Lord can deal with him. I'm going to stay out of that. That's the Lord's business. She had wayward children. You want to protect those children. A lot of times your attitude toward coming and how you come and all that can affect whether or not they get anything when they come here and whether or not God's in it. Don't destroy their spirit before they get here. And when you're here, keep your mouth shut and take the preaching. Take the good, like the preacher says, take the meat and leave the bone, all right? But keep quiet about it. That stuff that'll dampen the spirit of the whole place. And many of churches get ruined because people can't keep their mouth shut. She had wayward children, willful spirit. She had a worldly heart. And last of all, look in verse 26 again. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She had a woeful death. I heard Dr. Upman say something when I first went to school, and I've checked him out on it. He said, the Lord has no old, ugly women. You ever check that out? I've been in the Landmark Baptist Church in the last 10 years. Check out the old women in there. You know what the Lord has? He's got good-looking old women. I'm serious. You check it. You go to those churches where those ladies have been faithful over the years, and they've sit there and they've supported that thing. They're good-looking women. They got good faces on them. Buddy, I'll tell you, you think the world's got that. I was out on the bus visitation here a couple weeks ago. We'd taken some kids to like a little amusement park, and I dropped some kids off and went up on the porch, and the little girl standing there, she's my buddy, and she was. She asked me how old I was. I said, how old do you think I look? Her mom was standing there. She goes, well, 25, you know. I kind of smiled like this, you know. I didn't say nothing. I asked her mom, I said, how old do you think I am? She goes, well, you smiled, so you must be about 30. And I said, well, I'm 33. And her mom said, how old do you think I am? I said, I'm not dumb enough to guess that. Anytime I'm asked that, I always guess at least 10 years younger than what they look. And I figure I'm safe, you know. So I looked at her and I thought, well, I said, I really don't know. But I'll tell you this, had I guessed, I would have guessed she was 35 years old. Because she looked like she'd been run over by a couple trains, man. She looked bad. You know how old she was? She was 26 years old. She looked 20 years older than I did. And you know what that is? That's people that die like Lot's wife. They have a woeful death. This lady had a woeful death. You know what she was? She was the laughing stock of that crowd. The world walked by. The people that come out of there walked by, they laughed at her. You know, her name's never given. She died a no name. She went her own way, her own spirit. Gonna have it her way. Married the wrong kind of a man, got the end of her life. The Bible never even gives you her name. And they die a woeful death tonight. This world dies woeful deaths. I don't have time to go into that. But she died for a pile of kindling wood tonight. Everything she had was in ashes behind her. Everything. Nothing laid up ahead. And let me just ask you in closing that, what are you dying for? You say, I don't know. Well, you're dying for what you're living for. What are you living for tonight? You living like Lot's wife? Everything's right here? This thing's about over. Our time on this earth's about to go. And it's time to press on a little bit. It's time to get some things laid up. If you haven't laid them up, it's time to lay them up. If you got them laid up, it's time to lay up some more. And tonight, those are the lessons from Lot's wife. I'll tell you what, you read the stories. I got about four books at home. One's Last Words of Saints and Sinners. You need to read Beyond Death's Doors. You need to read some of those books and see what those saints died like before they got all the chemicals and garbage in their body. And those men that were saved, they died with peace, man. They died with joy. They died happy. And the unsaved crowd, in fact, I think it was Voltaire made a comment when he came to die. He said, I'm on my way to hell and I know it. And that's the way the devil will leave you tonight. And the lesson is, remember Lot's wife.